Okay, we're picking up 10 lines from the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored. Lili Nishma Shalom is Pasyakov, and the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So Ula told us that there's a halacha that if something is not recorded on as an obligation to pay, so then you're not allowed to collect it from property with the Shibud property that had a lien on it that was sold by the person that you were owed the money to. So the Gemara now wants to bring another raya against Ula. Mesiv Rav Huna Bar Manoach. Rav Huna Bar Manoach had a kasha from Ula from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mesu, if both people die, Binosea Nizonas Menechasin Bnei Chorin, Vehi Nizonas Menechasin Meshubadim, that their own daughters are only allowed to collect from Bnei Chorin for property which is no lien, was not sold, is only the property that the husband had, and not property which he had sold to somebody else. So what in the world are we talking about over here? So the Mishnah in Ksuvah, Sadaf Kafalif, it speaks about a case where a person is married and promised to feed his wife's daughter from a previous marriage for 5 years. So she comes into the marriage, Sarah marries Reuven, and he agrees to that she comes with her daughter, she comes in with her daughter Rachel, and he agrees to feed Rachel for 5 years. However, before the 5 years elapse, it's like 2 years in, their marriage really isn't working out, and Reuven divorces Sarah. So he still has to provide for Rachel for the next 3 years. So then what happens is that she marries Shimon and she makes the same tanai that you have to support my daughter for 5 years. So now there's going to be a 3 year period where Reuven and Shimon are chayav to support her. Reuven never lost his claim. He still has to, she has a claim against Reuven. He has to support her for 5 years. So 3 more years of that time, are they going to overlap, let's say, in our example? So the halacha is that, during those 3 years, one of them has to give her actual mizonos, has to support her, and the other one has to give her the money, has to give her whatever amount that would have been valued to, let's say whatever it is, $20,000 for the whole year, that he has to give her in cash. So that's the halacha. So the halacha over here is that the daughters in such a case, the daughters allowed, if this guy is divorced, so then in that case he only has to feed his actual children from Bnei Chorim. However, she is getting money from Menechasim Meshubadim. Why? Because she is like a malve who collects her obligation even from property that was sold. If I lend Reuven $1,000 and he doesn't pay me back, we write it up in a document. So the halacha is that al milva b'shtar is govim minichasim shubadim. If he sold property that any time after he lent me the money, I have an earlier claim against that property and I'm able to collect it. So here we assume that she is like a balas chov. And she has that 5 years, and the Rabbanan made it as if she's like a balas chov. So the Gemara says, Lechora, this is a raya against the shita of Ula, because the Gemara was assuming that the woman's never actually wrote it up in the ksuba that was a provision. It was just agreed upon amount that they agreed, and therefore it's not a milsa that has a kol. Yet we assume you are allowed to collect this from nechasim mishubadim. This is against Ula, who says only if something is written and therefore it has a kol, or something else that has a major kol, can be collected from nechasim mishubadim. So that is the shaila on Ula. There's a shaila in the Rishonim, whether or not the Rashba and others, whether or not this is also a kashin Rabbi Chanina. If you remember, Shitas Rabbi Chanina was that only thing is midi dekayitz is going to be something which also is subject to the halacha of a shibud. So the idea of agreeing to feed the wife's daughters is considered an immediate cuts because it has a time limit. You know exactly how much it's going to be, $20,000 for the next, whatever, 3 years, and you know exactly how much it is. So therefore, the Chora, this would also be a kasher Rabbi Chanina according to Rashi. However, the Rashba and other shitas, they explain that even though there is a limit, we know exactly how much time it's going to be, we don't necessarily know how much a daughter eats. And therefore, we don't know how much her support would physically cost, and it's not immediate a kites, and therefore it would not be a kasha against Rabbi Chanina, against Rabbi Chanina. According to Rashi, it would be like Rabbi Chanina because it is a midah d'kayitz, so therefore we do collect it from Shibudim. So according to Rashi, it works out. I think I got the opposite. According to Rashi, this should work out. That this actually is not a kasha on Rabbi Chanina, whereas according to the Rashba, then it would be a kasha on Rabbi Chanina as well in this point of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, how could we defend Ula, and potentially again, according to the Rashba, even Rabbi Chanina? Hachamayaskina, what are we dealing with over here? Beshekano miyado, where they do, akana miyado, whenever they literally are acquiring it from their hands, whatever you refer to that's always referred to kinyan chalipin, where you're formalizing your obligation by usually taking a handkerchief and picking it up of the kelav shel kona, and you pick it up to obligate yourself. That solidifies the agreement, and generally that was done before Edim, that's the Gemara in Bava Basra, and therefore we assume that it has a kol and people knew about it. So the Gemara says, Ihachi ben Osnami. So if that's the case, then all his own children in Pashas, he also did a Kanamiyado, and people should have known about it. His own children should also should be able to be, Govef and Rechasim Mishubadim. Why only are his stepdaughters allowed to correct from Rechasim Mishubadim, where his own daughters are not? So the Gemara answers, because Mishakana Lazu, Velo Kana Lazu. Because we're talking about the cases where the witnesses, they got commitments for the woman's daughter, but they did not acquire commitments from they did not do the kanumiyado from the actual, for the obligation to support his, again, for his stepdaughter, he did do the obligation, but to do it for his own daughters, he didn't do the kanumiyado. So the Gemara says, l'chor, that's difficult. Maya Pascha, how are you making that statement that for one case you did it and one case you didn't? That's the stam case of the Mishnah. That's very difficult. So the Gemara says, bas ishto davi b'shas kinyano. The Gemara explains why. Because when it comes to his wife's daughter, she was alive, right? So they got married on condition that he's supporting the daughter that she already had in the marriage, so she's already around. So therefore, Mahanakinan, the fact that you did a Kanamiyado helps you. However, Bito, if now he's getting married, obviously he didn't have children yet. Right, it wasn't they had children yet already. It was Bito de Lave Bishaskinan. She didn't have children yet, and she's getting married, and he's agreeing to support the children, even if he does a Kinyan Chalipin. Lo, Mahani Le Kinyan, that will not help because it's Davar Shalom Balolam. It's the children are not in the world yet to be Mischayev you to support them, and therefore, they're not allowed to collect from the Chasim Mishubadim. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, maybe you could find a case that both of them really have the children. Milo Askinan, Dahavit Tarvai Bishaskinan. They could both, the Mishnah doesn't specify otherwise, as Rashi points out. We can assume that Lachora over here also, they were both around at the time of a Kenyan. How do you have this case? Hechidame Degarsha, where each person divorces a woman after she had children, Va'adra, and then he remarried her. So how do you have this case? Again, the first person marries the woman, has children, he divorces that same woman, and then he decides to remarry that same woman, agreeing to feed her and that daughter that she had from that marriage. Then after the first, then after that, the first guy then divorces that woman again. Doesn't work out. And now the second person marries that same woman and has children and divorces that woman and then remarries her. So agreeing to feed that daughter from a previous marriage. So you have to explain it that way because you can't marry a woman, right, who already got remarried before. And so in that case, over here, each time of the man's remarriage, then what would happen is they each already have their children, and l'chor, the din is still that way. So the Gemara says, no, Ella, so rather we may explain that this is Bito Devetnai based in Ka'acha. His daughter, why is it that a woman has to support, why is the man has to support his woman? That's in the Lashon of the Ksuva. I forgot the Lashon, but something along that's how it continues. The Lashon of the Ksuba, if you look in the Nuns in Ksuba. So that's the Lashon that you support. That's a Tanai Ksuba that you have to support. That's like a Tanai Beistin that you have to support, the daughter even after his death. So it doesn't matter. So the Gemara says, so then, lo man and the kin is not going to help him. And however, bas ishto developed na based in kachla manalekin, and the woman who was on a lower level, she was not. The guy had no obligation to support this woman's daughter when she enters the marriage. So therefore, a kinyan will help you. To which that's an obvious problem. The Gemara is immediately going to ask it to the point we could even ask what was the havamina. But the Gemara is immediately going to ask right now, what does it mean? How could you tell me that if something is a tzniy basin, it should be stronger? You should definitely be able to mischive yourself through a kinyan. How could you tell me the opposite? V'chi migra gara, how should it be that if it's the case where she's eating with Tanai based on his actual own daughters, so if you made a kinyan, it should be even stronger, and you should definitely be able to collect from Shibudim properly with a lien on it. How could you tell me otherwise that it should be the other way around? So Gemara says, Ella bito keva de v'tanai based in ka'achla emar tzari atbasa. Rather, we're talking about a case, the husband's daughter eats from her estate by a Tanai based in, and so then we could say that their father secretly gave her money as a security to her, and therefore that's what we're assuming. We're really assuming that there's a chashash that she already collected the money. Therefore, we don't elect her collect from Shibudim. But we're not concerned of that same security for his stepdaughter because he doesn't care about her as much. And therefore, this Mishnah is not a kasha on Ula, because even though Ula generally allows you to collect that which was only written, here he would agree that from the woman's daughter, you're not allowed to collect it from that. From the case of a Shibud, because we have a chashash that really that woman, that daughter, really already got her money from the father because he liked her very much. He wanted to make sure that she was set, and he already gave her the money to support her. That's the real chashash, and therefore you can't collect it with property from a lien. But it doesn't have a lien on it, but now it's chomer. Okay, so then you're just taking the guy's property. That's not a big deal. But to take it from a thing that he already sold to somebody else, that's already a big deal. We would not allow you to do that. Tash must make you another proof from a braisa. Amar Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan says, Emasai. When and under what circumstances do we tell you if you took the property that was taken that you can collect from his improvements and other person's land? Bisman shekadem mechal shel shenu shvachal shel rishon. When the second purchaser his purchase came before the first person making it better. In that case, the first guy cannot collect his compensation for his lost improvements from the second guy, because in that case, the land that was purchased by the second person, because it never came from property that was under the obligation of the lien. However, if the first person improved it before the second guy had purchased it, the first guy could collect his compensation for his lost improvements from the nechasim mishubadim, from the second purchaser. So, because in that case, the land purchased by the second guy may be collected because that land has a lien on it, and therefore that land that has still a lien on it is still possession of the seller. And since it's well known that the seller had accepted responsibility for the first purchaser's losses, as generally is done when you're selling something, so all of the person's seller's land, including that which eventually became purchased by the second guy, became immediately chayav to the lien on it. So the Gemara says, Alma Mishim de lo kadimhu. But what do we see from this braisa? That the reason that the first person cannot collect from the second purchaser in this case is because the first person's improvements did not precede the second purchaser's purchase. If, however, it did, then it would be allowed. And Rabbi Nassan seems to hold that even something which is not recorded, because the shevach that he's including is definitely something which is not recorded in the shtar, and therefore the obligation yet is still incumbent upon him to maintain that loss and hold it. So the Gemara says Tanai. So really, you're right. Rabbi Nassan seems to disagree with this, but still, the Ula is not a stira, because it's a machlokas Tanayim that Ula and Rabbi Chanina both are supported by different shitas in the Braisa. One shita is the sign of the Braisa says, Ein Motzien, that we're not allowed to collect the land from a purchaser who already sold it, L'achilas peros for achilas peros of Shevach HaKaros, for improvements of the land, L'mazon Isha V'abanos, M'nechasim Mishamadim M'nei Tukun Ola. L'fish Ein Aksuvim, why? Because they're not mentioned. They're not publicized, and therefore they're Abanan, therefore said you cannot collect them from the buyer. Amrabi Yosef, V'chima Tikun Ola Meshbazu. What exactly about this is for the benefit of society? V'alo Ein Ksuvim, these obligations are not fixed, so they can't be collected anyway, Mikra Adin, without a special case in that case. And so therefore, this Mishnah is telling us that it's not this isn't point of something which is not an unrecorded obligation. This is a different point, because they would because it's something which is not fixed. Rabbi Yossi's understanding that it's only it's not this point, and therefore the machlokas between Ula and Chanina really is a machlokas. Ula would agree with the Tanakama that it's something which is not written, we're not collected from the Chasim Shubarim, while Rabbi Chanina understands Midas Rabbi Yossi, who holds that obligations that are about something which is fixed or midah d'kaitz and midah d'lokaitz, that's Rabbi Yossi, and it collected from the purchasers. That's what we're saying right now. The Gemara says, "Amotzi metzia lo yishava." So if a person finds property which is lost, he doesn't make a shvua, because we want to encourage people to bring things. So that's minei tikkun olam. And if I'm afraid that the guy's going to accuse me of not giving everything back, then I'm going to be called like a modem miktas, and then I'm going to have to make a shvua, so then I shouldn't be chal. So now the Gemara says, "Amar b'yitzchak Reza says, shnei kisin kshurin matasi li." Someone says that you found two like wallets that were tied together. So if I claim that they were tied together so tight that they wouldn't have left, Balomar, the guy who found them, says, no, he brings it back to me. He says, I only found one wallet of yours. So Nishba, then he has to make a shvua. Then that's the lach over here, because he's a modem mixus, he's agreeing. And since, again, that they were things that were definitely usually tied so tight, so it's not like a tiny shama. You can't make someone swear on a tiny shama. It's a tiny bari. You're saying vadai that they were together, and it must be that you took one of them. So then he has to swear. Shnei shvarim kshurim matzasi. However, if it's two ox that were tied together, there was only one ox that he found. Ein nishba. He doesn't have to swear. My time shvarim. Why manche mehadade that they tear apart. They can be removed apart from each other pretty easily, and therefore it's not a tiny bari. It's a tiny shama. However, kisin lo man chesed man tache adad. They don't get removed from one another, and therefore, since it's something which is a tainus bari, then you have a din of a modem miktas over here. So the Gemara says, shnei shvarim kshurim matzasiv alo mer matzasiv v'chzarti l'chayach an mayim. I give you back. I only found one. I give back to you. Hareza nishba. Here also you have to swear. So here he could say that he's found only one, but since he's acknowledging originally finding both, so then the owner can say that both of them are still owed to him, and that would be a tainus bari. So Rabbi Yitzchak leis lemotzi metzia lo yishavu. The Gemara asks, wait a second though. The Mishnah seems to contradict this. The Mishnah says that if a motzi metzia, even if he's motzi miktas, it doesn't matter. He could have just said nothing, not come, and not done anything. So the fact that he's a motzi metzia, certainly not have to swear minetik and olam, because we want to encourage people to return things. He's definitely not going to be encouraged if he has to swear and be accused of lying. So the Gemara is wondering that in this case over here, you're step forward on your own. Why should it be that you should have to make to swear in the first place? So turning on to the next Amud now, the Gemara says, turning on to the Alfama Beis, who Damar Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Yitzchak follows the Shita of Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, who disagrees with our Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov is the Shita that says that you have to swear whenever the person is bringing whenever the person is claiming against you the Tainas Bari, and you're going to have to swear against that claim. They said, what does Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov say? There are times that a person can swear even against his own claim. Kate said, how could you have his own claim? If a person goes up to an orphan, he says, by the way, I have a money belonging to your father in my possession. I owed him a money. However, I paid him half of it. The halacha is that you have to swear that because you're a mode of miktas, and therefore, with the Gemara is assuming that the orphan wasn't claiming anything back, you're still mode of miktas, you have to pay. Because the orphan never said anything to you, and yet you're modem mikta, so therefore you should have to swear. The Chachamim say that he's just like someone who returns lost property, and therefore he's exempt from swearing in such a case over here. Just as someone who lost an object would never have gotten it back. So too over here, the guy would never have gotten back this property, this money, had it not been the guy admitted to him. The kid had no idea. So therefore, shouldn't it be pashut that he shouldn't... that he shouldn't be chayav, to which the Gemara says that's such a good sfar that how could Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov disagree with that? Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov leisah mishav v'depater. How could it be that Rabbi Lezer? It's such a compelling argument that a person should never be forced to make a shvua on something that he could have just avoided in the first place and never even come into the situation. So how could it be that he has to swear? So the Gemara says Amar Rav betano katan. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is talking about a case where a katan, who is the orphan, he actually says that he knows that you were owed $1,000 to my father. I saw this happen. And since generally a katan is saying it with certainty, so that's something which is a tainus bari, and you'd have to make a shvua to counteract that. And the Chacham is saying, since it's a katan, you don't need to respond to that. So Gemara says, how can it be that Rabbi Lazar Yaakov says a katan you do need to respond to? Katan bidi meshasha isbei. Does the katan have any standing on this claim? That's not enish bain altanas chayr shatav a katan. There's a halacha that we don't have to swear, even if it's a tainus bari of a katan. So the Gemara is assuming because they are people without das, that their claims have no standing. So therefore, you cannot obligate even according to Rabbi Lazar Yaakov to swear based on his claim. It shouldn't be that there's any taina over there. So the Gemara says, my katan, so how could he explain the Mishnah? Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case where it's katan is a gadol. Really, it's a person who is a gadol over the age of bar mitzvah. We called him a katan. But my karle katan, how could we call him a katan? Because dilagavi mila devil katan him. He doesn't really know what's going on. He doesn't really know his father's business dealings. He just thinks that way. So therefore, he is somebody who makes that claim. So the Gemara says, ihachi, tainas atzmo, tainas achim. How did Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov call that tainas atzmo his own claim? That's the claim of the orphan who's claiming against him that you owe me money, $1,000 from my father's estate. And you owe me the money now. So the Gemara says, really, it's a tainas achirim v'odas atzmo. It's a tainas achirim. It's a tainas achirim that it's other people who are claiming this. It's a tainas achirim v'odas atzmo. Yet it's his own admission that causes him to swear because he's a modem miktas. So the Gemara says, kulos onami, but all cases of a taina, all claims of a person where he has to swear are a case of taina sachem vadas atzmoninu, where the other person is making this claim and the person is admitting to half of it. That's every case of a modem miktas. So how could Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov and the Chacham disagree with what is a regular case of a modem miktas? So it can't be that that's the yesod machlokas. So now the Gemara wants to go back to the original understanding of Rav, that the Brice is speaking about a case where it's a tano katan. So the Gemara rejected that based on the fact that a katan can't make you swear. So the Gemara is going to come back to that and say that really, maybe there is a case that you should have to swear in a similar situation. Because ella b'derabba kamifligi. So without telling you that, that's how the Gemara is assuming that. That really it's possible that you should swear based on the claim of a katan. And the Mishnah means you do not swear because it's a katan, and that would be the claim over here. That we say from Ish that you don't have to swear. So the Gemara's original understanding is going back to Rav, and the Machlokas between Lazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim is talking about a case where a katan is claiming that he never paid any part of the debt. So since the money was loaned by the father, who is a gadol, so then we can assume that that case can either go back to him, and it's even though it's really his claim, he would go back, and we would say that that's what's going on. That's how Rashi explains this sugya. And now the Gemara is saying, based on that, that what's Machlokas Rav Lazar Yaakov and the Chachamim? Ela but Rava came with a They're understanding. Machlokas had to understand what Rava said. Amar Rava. Rava explained the famous Din Daraisa of a Moda Mimiktas. Moda Mimiktas is a Din Daraisa. We learned from the Pasuk of Ki Asher Mark, from what do we say? Asher Mark Yuzet. Out of the Rosh name, they bring from there. We learn out the modem mikdas. So we learn out from there modem mikdas. So that is a why is it that the Torah told you that that you have to pay partial? So why is it? Why should it be? Because isn't he a meshiv aveda? Isn't he just giving back something that really was? I could have just denied the whole thing. And therefore, I'm like a meshiv aveda, and I really don't have to return any. I could have just denied the whole thing. The fact that I'm admitting to af should lechora clearly tell me that I'm like a meshiv aveda. Now, obviously, like a meshiv aveda, the whole idea of meshiv aveda not swearing is a dinner abundant, but it's svara, as the Rishonim point out. The Ran, famous Ran in Bava Metzia, says that the svara applies in level d'oraisa, that lechora, if there is a svara to assume that, I should not have to pay because of meshiv aveda, that exists on a level d'oraisa. So also here, explaining the Torah's a point, why isn't it like your Meshav Aveda? Because the person really wants to deny the entire claim. Why doesn't he want to deny it? Because Mishum de'enadam meiz panav b'nei balchovo. A person is not, he's not so meiz panav, he's not so brazen to deny the entire thing. The guy did you such a tova. He gave you a $10,000 loan when you were stuck. You're not going to say the guy, you like spit in his face and say, I didn't do anything? No. So you're going to admit, really, you want to admit the whole thing to the guy, but you don't have any money now. He's just evading the creditor for right now. So his thinking is that when I get the money, I'm going to pay him back. You have to make a shvua, that you should admit to the entire amount that you actually owe. So not that you're really a thief, you're not a ganav, but you just want to basically stall. It's a stalling tactic that the Torah wants to prevent. So now the Gemara wants to explain that this is really the Yesod HaMachlokas between Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim. They both agree that a person who is admitting to partial claim is Be'etzem, someone who's Chayav in a Shvua D'Oraisa. So over here, what's the Yesod HaMachlokas? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov savar loshna bo veloshna bivno. That there's no difference whether the claim, who is the guy denying the claim to? Him or his son? So the Gemara says, "Einu mei," is that a person would never be so brazen enough to deny the entire claim. Vilkach lav meishavidu. So therefore, his minimum amount they could have argued was half, because he wouldn't have denied the whole thing. So therefore, there's no migo deibay shasik. There's no migo in that case, and Elazar ben Yaakov therefore requires him to make a shvua. However, the Rabbanan savrei, the Rabbanan understand bo de einu mei, that the person is only to the actual malva himself, he would not be brazen enough to deny the entire thing. Aval bivno meiz, but to his son, he would be so meiz, because he doesn't care as much to deny the claim. His father did him a tova. His son doesn't really care about him. Lo meiz meishav avedahu. So therefore, since he would have denied the whole thing, and since he's admitting to half of it, so then we assume that's a migo. It's a migo that really could have claimed a better claim to say that I don't owe you anything. The fact that he's admitting to owing the guy partial amount of that money, he could have denied the whole thing, and since he did it, he's not going to be chayav a shvua. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, you're not going to be chayav because you could have denied the whole thing. You would have been embarrassed to deny the whole thing. And since you're admitting to half, we assume it's like a migo de by shasik, or a migo that you could have denied, he could have been kofar akol, then that is a better claim that you would have had. So basically what comes out is that a son claiming on his father's halvos, or money that he was owed, we can't assume it's completely definite because he's not completely aware of his father's business dealings. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov makes him swear because he says that even though it's not fully a definite claim, it's not, you wouldn't lie about it completely to the guy, to the lovet, and therefore you're obligated to swear because of a meshiv aved. You're not meshiv aved, and the Chum disagree. So same thing when it comes to lost objects, you cannot completely certain that the finder found all of them. So this reason, the Tana, the Mishnah, does not consider the owner's claim completely definite, and therefore, he tells you that the person who finds them is going to be putter. However, Yitzchak, who disagrees, he's going to claim that those cases, once they're tied together, it is definite, and therefore, you should be chayev a shvua. That's how we understand it. So, according to Yitzchak, when it comes to the Mesha Veda, though, why can't we just say Miko, that he could have just not brought him to the situation at all? Well, Miko di by Shosik. So from there, it's a famous handle in the Rishonim. They make the deal that these shittos, that a migo di bay shasik cannot necessarily pater you from a shvua. The Ramban suggested this, and then he rejects it, and he says that that Migud Rabbi Shazik Lechora can remove you from a shua. That's a big machlokas, a big handle in the Rishonim, but that gets into this whole sugi over here. It's mashma from over here that according to Elisa Yitzchak, that would not be the case. Okay, but Ezra Shoshem will pick up with the next Mishnah on the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph in tomorrow's, you know, tomorrow's daf is a little longer, so why don't we just, let's just do the Mishnah, and then we'll stop with it. We'll stop after the Mishnah. We have a few more minutes here. So, the Mishnah tells us other things that if orphans relied on a person who was in charge of their house to manage the different things, or he actually appointed a formal person to administer the house to be the person who's watching over everything, this person is chayav to take off meisers, trumas and meisers from them, to take off all the trumas and meisers. This is a din derabanan to prevent the yisomim from potentially eating tevel. And the person who is appointed by the orphan's father, Yeshava, he has to swear to the orphans when they're older that he didn't keep any of the money to himself. However, if he's appointed by Beistin, Lo Yeshavi does not need to swear. However, Abashal says, no, Chilav Advarim, really the opposite is true. If it's by Beistin, you need to swear. And if it's not by Beistin, you would not need to swear. So that would be opposite. You would need to swear if it was by Beistin. You would need to swear if it was by the father. So that's the din of Abashal. The Gemara is going to get into on Amud Beis over here, the reason for that, why they argue. Okay, but Ezra Shem will pick up with the Gemara of Uriminu in tomorrow's stuff.